power that you want to impart to us through this message today. So give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and the will to obey everything that we hear today. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Just also a quick reminder that you can also give through our app or our webpage for those who would like to give electronically. So we are in the month of Elul, which is the month that precedes the High Holy Days, which is the month of Tishri for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And as many of us know, this month is a month of preparation in anticipation of encountering the King on the throne on Rosh Hashanah. And as we have shared in previous weeks, the Shabbats leading up to Rosh Hashanah are known as the Shabbats of consolation or comfort. So beginning with the Shabbat after the ninth of Av, we have seven Sabbaths leading up to Rosh Hashanah that have special haftarot readings that are all from the book of Isaiah. So just a quick history lesson. The ninth of Av is a day of fasting and mourning. It commemorates things that tragically happened to us as a Jewish people. The rabbis believe that it was on the ninth of Av that the 10 spies came back with Joshua and Caleb, and the 10 spies gave the evil report, a report of doubt and unbelief. It is on the ninth of Av that the first temple was destroyed with the Babylonian captivity, and that's where Israel is in our Haftorah reading today. It's the ninth of Av that the second temple in 70 CE, and a lot of other incidents that were unfortunate for us as a people are associated with the ninth of Av. So that's a very serious day of mourning and fasting. And so in these 7 weeks leading up to Rosh Hashanah, the whole concept behind these Haftarot is that Adonai wants to encourage us that after this time of commemorating such tragic events and losses for us as a people, God wants to encourage us that he has not forgotten us as a people and as individuals, and that his love and his compassion remain steadfast towards us. Because when you are recounting such tragic events, you could be overwhelmed with the emotion of all of those things that are represented by the ninth of Av. So we have 7 weeks where God speaks words of comfort to the Jewish people and words of encouragement of his love, his steadfastness, his compassion, and his mercy, and of his plans for us. So today's Haftorah, as we heard a while ago, was from Isaiah, or is from Isaiah, Yeshayahu, chapter 54, verses 1 through 10. And this is a passage that is familiar to to many of us here in the synagogue. For those who have been with us for a long time, you might remember that in the middle of the building process, we were a little beside ourselves, overwhelmed, not sure what to do, what direction to go. Finances were a concern, and God gave this scripture to my husband, sitting out on what is now the front steps. There were no steps there. It was we had the basic structure of the building together, the block, cinder block and things, and God gave this scripture from Isaiah 54, 1 and following to my husband to encourage us, and it really did encourage us that he was with us. And shortly after is when someone came in with a wad of cash. I was up on the scaffolding right here and said, is Rabbi Michael here? Can I speak to him? I'm like, yeah, he's around the building somewhere. And it was someone we hadn't seen in years. And he gave my husband a handful of, I think they were $100 bills, $20,000 in cash that God told him to come and give to bless the congregation. And it was a blessing. And so God was encouraging us, right, that he was in the midst of this. And today we sit in this building because God was indeed in it, and he wanted this building to be built. So let's read this passage because God wants to encourage us today. Believe it or not, that was a good 18 years ago. 18 years ago, we were still in the building process, okay? And so God wants to do something today for Beth Emanuel. He wants to do something today for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to do something for you. Okay, I'm going to say it like I mean it. God is going to do something for you, okay? That's how you need to say it. I know he is, because he is faithful and true to his word, and I know the message that he has given me today. So bring out your tree books or e-books. There's no PowerPoint today. I apologize for that. A hectic, busy week. But listen or follow along as I read these 10 verses from Yeshayahu, Isaiah 54. Sing, barren woman who has never had a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who have never been in labor. For the deserted wife will have more children than the woman who is living with her husband, says Adonai. Enlarge the space for your tent. Extend the curtains of your dwelling. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Make your tent pegs firm. For you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will possess the nations and inhabit the desolate cities. Do not be afraid, for you will not be ashamed. Do not be discouraged, for you won't be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth, no longer remember the dishonor of being widowed. For your husband is your maker, Adonai Tzevaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called the God of all the earth. For Adonai has called you, like a wife abandoned and grief-stricken. A wife married in her youth cannot be rejected, says your God. Briefly I abandoned you, but with great compassion I am taking you back. I was angry for a moment and hid my face from you, but with everlasting grace I will have compassion on you. For me this is like Noah's flood, just as I swore that no flood like Noah's would ever again cover the earth. So now I swear that never again will I be angry with you or rebuke you. For the mountains may leave and the hills be removed, but my grace will never leave you, and my covenant of peace will not be removed, says Adonai, who has compassion on you. Amen and amen. Powerful, powerful truths in these 10 verses. And I'm looking at the top four or five verses in my message today, and it's a word of encouragement to us as we are anticipating entering into a new year on the Jewish calendar. What will this year hold for us as a congregation? What will it hold for us as individuals? Well, listen to the word of the Lord this morning, because he wants to encourage you that it holds good things. Turn to your neighbor and says, good things. For I know the plans I have for you, says Adonai. They are plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. That's what's in store for you and me and Beth Emanuel in this new year. So there are four things that Adonai commands us to do in this passage, and I want to go over those with us. And again, let's pray this. God, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and the will to obey what I hear today. So you just pray that prayer, so you need to follow through on that. So the first thing that God encourages and yes, even commands us is he says, don't be afraid. Fear is such a powerful emotion. Israel feared her fate. Remember, she is in Babylon. She's in captivity. She's going to end up being there for 70 years. She is uncertain of her future, and that uncertainty challenged her faith. Fear is always, always the opposite of faith. Israel could not easily see the promises of God being fulfilled in her life. Fear of failure loomed over her. So many times in the past, she had returned to Adonai, and she had repented, and then backslidden again, and found herself making the same mistakes over and over again. And we who read the Bible know very well that that is the history of Israel. God calls her to repentance. She repents. She comes back. She does well. She slips up. She backslides. And she's making the same mistake over and over again. So shame clouded Israel's vision at this time. Fear of failure. Why would it be any different this time? Will I ever be able to succeed? I want to encourage us that fear comes in many shapes and sizes, but the effect of each one is the same. Fear is meant to immobilize us, and it is meant to prevent us from walking in the fullness of what Adonai has for our lives. Friends, God has only good for you. You're His child. He loves you. It's His promise. It hasn't changed. He has only good for you. But when fear grips our hearts, when fear grips our emotions, it immobilizes us, it makes us shrink back, and it prevents us from seeing the good that God has for us. One author described the effects of fear this way. He said, "Fear will cause us to buckle and settle for less than God's best. It will cause us to disobey after diluting our trust in Him. And even when we do stand strong, it'll rob us of our peace and joy." Many of us struggle with fear. Like Israel, there might be things from our past that bring us shame and that loom over us. And we constantly try to improve and we try to change and we feel like we cannot change. It's just the same old, same old. We keep trying. And so there is this fear of failure looming over us, just like Israel. I don't know, God, you know, we're being told in these recent messages that there's good things and you're going to do something new. But it feels like the same old to me. And God wants to encourage us not to be in fear of failure and not to be in fear of things from our past. We know that Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 4:18, God tells us, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear." There's only one love that is perfect, and that is the love of God. I love my husband, I love my children, I love you as a congregation, but my love is not perfect. I make mistakes, I blow it in my love and in my relationship, but God never blows it in His love and in His relationship with us. His love is perfect, and in that perfect love, there is no fear. So when I am walking in fear, I know immediately that I am not tapped into the perfect love of God, that something that has come in that has made me forget how secure I am in His love, and fear takes over. We need to know that He is a God who loves us and loves us intensely, and we need to recognize that the enemy of our soul, HaSatan, he knows, listen to me, he knows these biblical principles. Remember, he was in heaven. He knows how God operates. He knows the principles that God has put into place in the universe. And he knows that if you and I walk in that perfect love, we will not give in to the fear that he tries to put upon us. So trust me, the enemy will do everything he can to make sure you and I don't experience the love of God. Because if I don't experience it, or if I don't walk in it, yes, intellectually, if I were to ask anyone sitting here in this room today or listening to the podcast, wherever you may be, recently I had someone call me from Canada who listens to our podcast. So hi to Canada, everyone. Say hi to Canada. And thank you again to Randy, so people from all over the world are listening. But it doesn't matter. The enemy will try to keep you from knowing in your kishkes that God loves you. Intellectually, what I was going to say, and if I were to ask any one of you, does God love you? You would say, of course. But living that out, experiencing it, because this whole relationship spiritual thing is not just an intellectual thing. It's supposed to be felt. It's supposed to be lived out. So the enemy doesn't care if you intellectually say, okay, yeah, God loves me, but he doesn't want you to experience that love, to walk in that love. So if he can keep you from walking in that love in your daily life, then he knows that he can send fear in to captivate you and capture you. He will keep us from experiencing God's love because he wants to keep us in fear. So how do we know that God loves us? Very famous verse. Again, most of you could quote this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, Yeshua the Messiah, who died for us, and that whoever believes in him would have everlasting love. Everlasting life. That's the love of God. Romans 5, I think it's verse 13, maybe 18, verse 5 says, for God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, it's verse 8, Messiah died for us. In other words, God loved us even when we were unlovable. And I know we all think we're so lovable. Come on, right? But think about it. There's not one of us who has not sinned, and in that state, God still loved us. He loved us in the worst of times and in the best of times. And that love is something that we need to walk in and to experience. God wants you to experience his love every day. He wants you to know that he loves you, that he loves you, that you, he loves you, and to experience that so that you can overcome the fear of the enemy. He says to Israel and to you and I in Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Friends, you need to get into that place where you experience and know that God loves you. I know my husband loves me. I know my children love me. Why? Because I'm experiencing that love on a daily basis. I am in relationship with them. They demonstrate that love to me. I receive that love from them. And we need to do the same with God. Don't intellectually experience God alone, but experience him through your emotions and your feelings. Know how much he loves you so you can overcome the spirit of fear. God says, do not fear today. Do not fear about the future. Do not fear what is happening in the world. Do not fear. And the way to not fear is to know the perfect love of God. The second thing that God encourages us in this passage is don't be discouraged. Fear often is accompanied with discouragement. Because Israel feared she could not succeed, discouragement settled into her heart. What's the use of trying? How can I ever reach my potential in God? I believe that's what Israel was saying, and I believe that's what many of you are saying. It's not worth it, Rabbi Carol. You know me. You know how many times I've tried and I keep falling, I keep making the same mistakes. And so what happens is discouragement and disappointment seek to invade our spirits and to overcome us, so we stop trying. And especially when we are in those seasons of waiting. So Israel, we know, is in Babylon right now and waiting to be delivered, waiting for the promises to come to pass. So when we're in that season of waiting, when we're in a time of drought, that happens sometimes, right? The whole imagery is of barrenness. Sing, O barren woman, right? In other words, this woman doesn't have any children. And so sometimes in that season of barrenness, of dryness, that's when discouragement sets in. Sometimes when it seems the heavens are brass, there are times like that when, you are pressing in and you're trying, and it's like those prayers are bouncing right back down at you, right? So when you're in that moment in season, that's when discouragement will come in, or when those promises are not being fulfilled, and when we see no change at all in our lives, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and no change, discouragement is easy to come and set in. And so that's why God says to Israel in this passage, don't be discouraged. And he says to Beth Emmanuel, this is the word of the Lord. Don't be discouraged. And he says to you, to every single person listening this morning, don't be discouraged. You see, overwhelmed with disappointment at promises that we feel should have been fulfilled days, months, and even years ago, we can struggle to keep in faith. We often cry out, at least I do, I'm being honest here, how long must I wait, God? How long until the thing you have promised is actually seen with my eyes. Well, God encourages us not to lose hope and not to give up and not to throw in the towel. This is what God, I believe, is saying to us this morning. He says, I know you have been seeking me. I know you have stood on the promises I declared in my word. The appointed time is here. Things are changing. What was will no longer be. That's what he was telling Israel, and that's what he's telling us this morning. So we need to stand firm in our faith in Adonai and secure in his love for us, reminding ourselves of this truth that Rav Shaul shared with the Kehillah, the congregation in Rome. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, reading from a modern translation, it says, so we are convinced, I am convinced, you need to be convinced, that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are loved by him, and we have been called to fulfill his design purposes. The translation that most of us know, for I know that all things work together for good. But you hear what this says? Every detail of our life is perfectly woven together because he loves us and he's working his purposes in us. We need to be reminded of that when we don't see things happening. We need to be reminded that, like God told us a few weeks ago, that he's always working behind the scenes. We may not see things right in front of us, but God is always moving. And he says today, do not be discouraged. No matter how long you are waiting, no matter what you don't see with your natural eyes, don't be discouraged. In Tehillim, Psalms chapter 31, verse 24, Adonai says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And then again, in Tehillim, Psalm 120, verse 1, the psalmist says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. God wants you to know that he has heard the cry of your heart, and he is answering you. That is what he is telling Israel here through these Haftarot passages. He says, Israel, I see you crying out to me in Babylon. I see you are looking and waiting to be returned to Jerusalem. I know that these are the things that are on your heart, and I am answering you. I will fulfill my word. I said I would return you to the land, and it will take place. And God wants to encourage Beth Emmanuel. He wants to encourage every individual listening to my voice that he hears your call. He hears the cry from the deepest, most inner part of your being, and he says, I am answering you. Don't be discouraged. So don't be fearful and don't be discouraged. Now, the next two things are positive things that God commands us to do. The first is to sing. He says it three different ways. Sing, burst into song, and shout for joy. Now, we've shared many times on this passage and this biblical principle because often we get this mindset, why should I sing when everything in my life is wrong? Why should I sing when nothing is going right? When you think about the historical context of this verse, Israel did not have much to rejoice in or much to sing about. Again, Babylon. Not a pleasant place to be. When you are a captive, you're a captive. I don't care how good the Babylonians might have been to them. It still was captivity. They were there not by choice. They were there because they were captured by their captors. Not a lot for them to sing about. Yet, that's exactly what God told her to do. Sing, shout, burst out into song. We are often of the mindset that when things start happening, then we'll start singing and rejoicing. Friends, it's not how it works spiritually. This is a principle that we all need to get down. We need to sing even when we see nothing happening. And in case you're not getting what they're saying here, because this is the reserved New York, Northeast area. He doesn't mean la, 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 la. That's the extent of my singing, guys, so. That's not what he's talking about. You see how rowdy my family is, right, at the celebration? They were a little tame there. But to sing and to shout for joy, ask Gary. He came over to watch the Chiefs football game with my family. I think he was in shock afterwards. My family is very, very loud, okay? But when God says sing for joy, when he says burst into song, he means to do it like from your deeper, most inner being, to let out a whoop and a holler. That's Missourian for shout. Like you've never shouted before. Friends, some of you, all of us, we need to let loose and let go. I'm just saying, you need to let loose and let go in the presence of God. Don't worry, but while anyone is thinking around you or looking at you, they're not, first of all, looking at you, right? You need to worship God like you've never worshiped him before. You need to shout. You need to sing. You need to praise him. One, he is worthy of our praise anyway. And as my husband said in worship, the angels are falling down before the throne day and night, night and day, saying, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. There is no one like him. And we need to cry it out. We need to sing it. We need to shout. We need to dance before the Lord. We could even do cartwheels across the front. That was Chris who did that many, many moons ago. God wants us to be exuberant. He wasn't talking about half-hearted worship. Let's just stand here and sing a song. Yes, I hope he changes to another song. I'm tired of this one. Okay. All right, how many times is he going to sing that over and over again? Okay. I know that's what some of you think. But see, that shouldn't be our mindset. Our mindset should be, I'm here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to give him everything that I have to give him. Okay? The rocks and the hills are not going to call out in my place. I'm going to call out, I'm going to shout, I'm going to sing and dance. And some of you need to do that in your homes. Okay? Can I get an amen? Some of you need to do it in your homes. There's some stuff that needs broken off in your homes. And, you know, shouting and praising, worship God is going to break those things off. So God says to us to sing, to shout, to jump, to leap with joy. He wants us to give everything we have, even in the midst of our situation. Listen to this verse from Habakkuk and how one author explains it, and this is a verse that many of us have heard before. It's chapter 3, verse 17, which says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I praise him. And the author of this article says, what he is saying is, no matter what is going on around me, no matter how little food there is in our pantry, no matter how little money there is in our bank account, no matter how difficult this marriage is, no matter how desperate this physician's report is, or the result of the physical test is, no matter what, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. He is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to go on high places, on the heights. Friends, there is something that happens when we shout and sing to the Lord. And this literally is a command. in the Hebrew, God is commanding Israel, you need to shout for joy, you need to sing. Again, Israel wasn't seeing much to be singing about, but God was saying, shout and sing. I don't care how bleak your situation looks right now. I don't care how long you are waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. You need to shout and sing unto the Lord for joy today. And just to encourage you, scientific evidence tells us that there is benefit to singing. Do you think God and I knew that? Yeah, of course he did. So let me go over these quickly before I go to my last point here. Science tells us that singing strengthens your immune system. That's a good thing to have. Singing improves your posture. Singing helps with sleep. Singing is a natural antidepressant. Singing lowers stress. Singing improves mental alertness. And singing boosts your confidence. So that's one report that I read about the benefits of singing. So it's going to do some great things for you spiritually, but it has all these other side benefits as well. So why not sing? So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Sing, shout unto the Lord. And the last thing he tells us to do is to enlarge. Once again, he uses three different words to tell us what he's trying to get us to do. Enlarge, extend, do not hold back. What is God basically saying to Israel and saying to you and me and to Beth Emmanuel today? Once again, he's saying, get ready. Prepare to receive what I am doing. What happens when a family is expecting a child? They prepare. They get ready. They buy a baby bed. They set up a nursery. They buy baby clothes. They buy diapers and diapers and diapers and more diapers and lots of diapers. We have a new baby in this family over here, right? I'm sure you have diapers going out. Why are they doing that? Because they're preparing to receive that child. Enlarge, extend, don't hold back. Get ready for what I'm about to do. Now, in this passage, Adonai commands Israel to enlarge her dwelling place because he is going to bring home the remnant. And he is specific, again, in saying, do not hold back. And once again, like with singing, where he wants us to give 100% plus, he wants us to give 100% plus here in enlarging and extending things out in our life. And it's hard to hear this word. It might be hard for you to hear this morning. It was hard for Israel. Goodness, think about it. She's saying to God, we aren't even back in our own land. We haven't even started to rebuild Jerusalem. How can you tell us to enlarge and to extend? A couple weeks ago, I spoke on seeing from Re'eh, the Parsha Re'eh, and I said, do you see what God sees? See, Adonai's commands were given to Israel and to you and me because he knew the future that awaited Israel. And he knows the future for you and me. You see, he knows what's right around the corner for this congregation. He knows what's around the corner for you and me and our lives. And I'm here to tell you this morning that this is a word for this season. Enlarge, extend, don't hold back, but make big plans. Because God says, I know what is going to happen, and I am working on your behalf, and you need to be ready for it. So what does this mean for us practically as a community? I believe it means we need to get ready for the harvest. Evan alluded to this a little bit in his Devar Torah, talking about how we shouldn't be indifferent to those around us. I believe we need to roll up our sleeves and get in the harvest fields to see people respond to the good news of Messiah. I believe it's not time to remain silent. I believe it is time to reach out to our community with the hope of Messiah. Friends, we have the words of everlasting life. Do you understand that? We have the words of everlasting life. Nobody else has that. No other religion has that. We have the words of life, and we need to share that hope. You heard a message a few weeks ago from Adeline while we were on vacation, encouraging you that we need to be a congregation that reaches out beyond these four walls. We need to go to the highways and the byways, and we need to compel people to come in. We need to be ready to receive people into this congregation with welcoming arms and hearts. We need to be ready to teach, to disciple, and to train children, teenagers, young adults, adults on every level of faith. Individually, for your life personally, God is saying you need to get ready to receive the promise that I have given to you. For you personally, for your family, for your children, healing is coming to your body, declares the Lord. Restoration of relationships. The prodigals are returning. God says, amen, get ready for it. Enlarge, extend. It's a mindset of being ready for God doing something big. D.L. Moody said, if God is your partner, make your plans big. Friends, I want big plans because I have a big God. Not because I can do them, but he can. And as I've said recently a lot, God is on the move, and we need to be moving with him. So God says, enlarge, get ready, get ready, get ready. Don't hold back because things are going to change. And after he encourages those four things to Israel and to us today, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, sing and shout, enlarge and extend, then God declares this promise to the children of Israel, and he declares it to you and me and to Beth Emanuel, you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. To Israel and to us, he declares that after we have done our part, he says more to Israel, more will be the children of the barren woman than of the married. More, more, more. God wants you and me and this congregation to know that we will not be defined by our past. You might have failed yesterday. You might have given up. You might have seen no fruit from your efforts, even though you labored through the night. But that is not today. Today, God says you will see a great harvest into his kingdom, and the promises to Israel was more, and the promise to you and me and to Beth Emanuel is more. I want to close with this passage from Luke. I'm reading in Luke this month, in the New Covenant reading. So I was in chapter 5, and I read this, and I can just tell you, as I read this passage, I was encouraged. I could feel excitement just bubbling up inside of me. And so chapter 5, verse 4 of Luke, when he, Yeshua, had finished speaking, he said to Shimon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Shimon answered, Yeshua, we have worked hard all night long, Rabbi, and we haven't caught a thing. We've been doing this for a long time. Yeshua, you're a carpenter. We're fishermen. We haven't caught a thing, and we know where the hot fishing spots are. Yeshua, do you understand what's going on here? It doesn't stop there. But Kepha, because he knew who Yeshua was, said, but if you say so, God, I'll let down the nets. Verse 6, they did this, and they took in so many fish that their nets began to tear. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats to the point of sinking. Now tell me if that is not more. That, my friends, is more. more than we could ever ask or imagine, and that is what God is speaking to you and to me and to this congregation, that he is going to do more. He's going to fulfill his promises in your life. I was so excited, as I said, reading this passage. And listen to me, this is what happened this week. After reading that passage, three people who we have been reaching out to, some of them for years, contacted this congregation. One by a text message, one came knocking at the door and came in and talked to me, and the other one called yesterday and I spoke to him on the phone. Three people, okay? Who we have been reaching out to, who don't come here regularly. They're not people, most of you wouldn't even know their names. That's how irregular. They've been on the list. They came once or they signed up at something, and we have been reaching out to them. One of them received a letter. Our leadership sent out letters with invitations to the high holiday seasons. And three people, after I read this passage, contacted Beth Emanuel, interested to connect. I'm meeting with someone on Tuesday. The man who called yesterday wants someone to come into his home and to do a Bible study with him. Okay, and the other person came by to take information on Messianic Judaism to a Jewish dentist who does not yet know Messiah. God is on the move. Guys, God wants to bring us into that season of fruitfulness as a congregation and in our lives personally. The promise is fulfilled. Believe it. Healing, restoration, miracles await each and every one of us. God says, get ready, be prepared for what I am about to do. I'm encouraged that as we continue to partner with Adonai, his promise is that we are entering this season of fruitfulness. I want to encourage us as I close that we must be assertive. Actually, I read an article that says we must even be aggressive in pursuing and working to see the kingdom of God established in our community, and to see the harvest come in and the promises fulfilled. So let's stand to our feet. I want to encourage us, do not sit passively by just waiting for something to happen. We are co-laborers with Messiah. God promised a revival. He promised a harvest. He spoke it to Israel. Israel did not remain in Babylon. As we know, she returned to Jerusalem. The walls were rebuilt, because God fulfilled his word. And just like God fulfilled his word to Israel in this story here in Isaiah, they didn't remain there in Babylon. God is going to fulfill his word to this congregation and to you as an individual. He knows the cry of your heart. He knows what you are believing for. And listen to what he is saying. It is happening. It is happening. God is fulfilling his word in your life today. So we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask my prayer team. I'm not sure who is here. I see Myrna. So Myrna and I are going to be praying. Others got called out. I know Gary's not feeling too good. So, and there's Evan. Evan, I'm going to ask you to come to pray as well. So if you have anything that you need prayer for, and I see Rena coming in, so more of the prayer team are coming in. Come down, we want to pray with you, because God wants you to know that he hears your cry, and we want to pray in agreement with you concerning the things that are on your heart. So I want to just close with the Aaronic benediction. I also just want to give opportunity, if you do not know Yeshua, whether you're here in this sanctuary or you're listening to this podcast, as we said, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son to die for you, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I first want to close with this prayer of giving you an opportunity to believe in Yeshua. So let's pray this together, and then I'll close with the Aaronic benediction, and then you can come and receive prayer from the prayer team down here, and then have a great rest of your Shabbat. So pray this with me. Dear God, thank you that you loved me, that you sent your Son to die for my sins. I choose today to believe in him and to put my trust in what he did for me on the tree of sacrifice. Amen. You're praying that for the first time here in the sanctuary, or you pray that on the podcast, you can call our number there And we would love to talk with you and encourage you concerning your relationship with God. The ironic benediction as we close. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yikunecha, yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yisim lecha shalom. May you walk in the peace of God Almighty. Shabbat shalom. Come down for prayer and have a great rest of your Sabbath.